Thank you. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as we gather before you on Sabbath day for a changing of the showbread. Thank you for blessing each and every one of us in attendance here right now with your Holy Spirit and with forgiveness for the sins that we commit. Thank you for the long suffering that you have bestowed upon us and the forgiveness and the cleansing from all unrighteousness. Please bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and especially those that are in need of physical and spiritual healings. And for those that are, as you know, Father, talking with a sister in the faith, some families have hereditary issues, which more often than not are due to because of certain diets, whether it's meat eating or not, because the bodies are all chemical puddles, and sometimes we shouldn't eat certain things. And so thank you for guiding our brothers and sisters in the faith into everything that they need to be guided into so they have a long life here and eternal life in your kingdom. And thank you for guiding my tongue and bridling it so that when I go forth with that which you have given me to share, it is shared as you would have it shared. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who's our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. As some of you present are aware, a few days before our spring convocation, the enemy of souls moved some under his thumb to push forward in a long prophesied agenda against the obedient people of God. And I am, of course, referring to the mark of the beast. I chose not to preach on this until after the convocation, as I needed to focus more on what the Lord revealed to me in all this, and being with my precious brothers and sisters for a few days in the foothills of Kentucky was most assuredly the best way to do just that. So I praise the Lord for his Holy Spirit, and I praise his name for how he moves among his obedient bride. As it is written in Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There is an evil organization on this planet that has been working directly with Satan since its inception in 1888, right here in the United States of America. And yes, since its inception, it has planted many satellite offices all over the world so as to effectively do what prophecy said Rome will do in the last days. Some of the brethren present here in Europe know of this evil organization as the European Sunday Alliance, but as students of prophecy, we also know the one in the USA will work directly with Rome under the direction of Satan to bring about the Sunday laws in America first, so as to assure all nations follow our lead, as they have already done in everything from Hollywood to fashion. So, I mean, what we do seems to be the norm worldwide, thanks to how Satan's methods to make sin look attractive via the American people, or sheeple, shall I say, seems to spread. So that being said, I'd like to share with you a short excerpt from the original Vatican entity in the United States of America, known as the Lord's Day Alliance headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, USA. The headline read, Sunday as a mark of unity, of Christian unity, rather. Their headline was, Sunday as a mark of Christian unity. And they said in the article, there were always differences about days and dates in the Christian world. There were divisions surrounding the dating of Pascha from the earliest years of Christianity. The Puritans rejected the commemoration of the birth of Christ on December 25th as unscriptural. The Lord's Day, however, as a time of communal Christian gathering, has never been in question. Well, that, brothers and sisters, is a bold-faced lie. First of all, the first evidence of anyone that claimed to be a Christian who was keeping Sunday holy as a supposed Christian wasn't until Constantine set up the first Sunday laws in 321 AD. Now, if you want the facts on this, see my 321 AD page on the website. The link can be found in box number 2 of the sermon notes below the conference room here. So 321 AD is actually 288 years after Jesus resurrected on that first day of the week. And then secondly, on my Sabbath in History page, which is linked out in box number 2 as well, I have a list of historic records wherein many true Christians have kept the seventh-day Sabbath all throughout history to the present day. As for the claim made in the article that there were always differences about days and dates in the Christian world, that too is a bold-faced lie wrapped in somewhat of a true statement. And what I mean about that is, on my main site, you can also find a page that shows the prophecy of Daniel 7:25 coming to fulfillment in the way the Roman Catholic Church used their political power to change the calendars as well as the Ten Commandments all over the world. That page is also linked out in box number 2. It was after this demon-inspired action that we saw the differences about the dates coming about in the Christian world, because many knew the Vatican was responsible in changing the times and laws just as the prophet Daniel predicted they would be. After reading the historic data on this, some will finally come to understand why it says in all the history books that Jesus died in 31 A.D. The A.D. stands for after death. And the death it's speaking of here is the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So, how's it possible for Jesus to die 31 years after he already died? And better yet, how is it possible for Jesus to be baptized 27 AD, which would be 27 years after he died? I mean, basic historic fact is, as prophesied, Rome changed the calendars. Anyway, at the end of the article, after making additional false historic claims, the author said, "When we stand in faith as members of a church beyond all churches, we reclaim Sunday for the God who gave it to us." And just who is this God they speak of that gave them Sunday keeping? Before answering, I could show you all sorts of historic facts and videos, Bible studies, tracts, websites, and even some old audio files on 8-track, or cassette tape, that have been passed out all over the world as the leaves of autumn, which use the Bible as the sword of truth so as to confirm the Christian God never gave or even sanctioned the Sunday Sabbath for anyone. I can even show how there isn't a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says Sunday is the Sabbath. I mean, in fact, I have a video and an online study proving that as well. As students of prophecy, we can also show prophetic statements found in Daniel, wherein he clearly says the beast in Rome is the one that will think to change the Sabbath. We even have the prophetic statement found in Commandment number 4 that predicts the Christian churches would be taught to forget the seventh-day Sabbath in the last days on earth. The prophetic statement, of course, being the word remember, found in Exodus 20, verse 8. So why would the Lord command his people to remember unless he knew they would be taught to forget it? So again, we have all sorts of scriptural evidence along with historic sources to prove the Sabbath was never changed by a God who never changes. But that would make this into a sermon series that could go on for over a year if I was to share all that. So instead, I'm going to share with you the words from the very God that the Sunday Alliance is speaking about that actually gave the Sunday Sabbath to the people of the world. In their very own well-documented words, the Roman Catholic prelates stated the following. Okay, and I have all the sources listed in the boxes below the conference room here, and they'll be on the video too. So I don't need to read the sources here, so I'm just going to say what they said. The first one here is that the Sunday, which is they're talking about the Sabbath, they say the Sunday is purely a creation of the Catholic Church. And they, of course, did that way back in 1883. They also said Sunday is a law of the Catholic Church alone. And then they said, the Catholic Church, by virtue of her divine mission, changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. By virtue of her divine mission? This is the church that killed over 500 million people. There's nothing divine about this church. And it's also 98% of the men in this church that run the Vatican are homosexual. How is this divine in any way, shape, or form? And then they also said the authority of the church could therefore not be bound to the authority of the scriptures because the church had changed the Sabbath into Sunday, not by command of Christ, but by its own authority. It's pretty arrogant, isn't it? But then that's one of the fruits of Antichrist. And they also said, is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? Is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. They actually admit this stuff in writing, which is also going to solidify another point I'm going to be making later. Now, this I'm going to read you is a question and answer, kind of a series that's actually posted. And the only reason I'm going to share this source is because I used to teach from this book when I was a Roman Catholic. It's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The doctrinal book, dogmatic book, if you will. Question, which is the Sabbath day? Answer, Saturday is the Sabbath day. In other words, every Roman Catholic is given this book when they join the church to study it. This is their statement of faith. 86.2% of this book is not found in Scripture. So they admit here that Saturday is the Sabbath day, right? Even though they're just, you know, generalizing, because it's actually Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But anyway, next question is, why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? And here's their answer. We observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church in the Council of Laodicea in AD 364 transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. They're even admitting in AD 364, even though it actually went down to 321, but they used political and religious power to put it in stone in 364. So, but why is every Sunday keeping preacher saying it Sunday came about when Jesus resurrected? We've got historic records all over the place proving they're lying. They're all lying, the Catholics and the Sunday keepers. And this last one I have is, it says, the Bible says, and this is a Roman Catholic statement, actually from a Roman Catholic priest. It says, the Bible says, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says no. And he put the exclamation point there, by the way. Not me. He put it there. And it says, and he goes on to say, by my divine power I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. Now do you see why it says in Revelation 13, verses 3-4, that all the world's going to wonder after the beast? Now, these are only a few of the many bold statements made by the Catholic Church over the years that prove, number one, the authority of the Sunday Alliance article I started the sermon with is lying when he's, the author actually, not the authority, but the author of the Sunday Alliance article I started the sermon with is actually lying when he says there was never a question among Christians as to keeping Sunday holy. When, if that were true, why is the Catholic Church making so many published statements regarding that Sunday is the Sabbath and it was their creation? I mean, if there was no question, why are they openly debating it on so many different publications? They even published a booklet titled Rome's Challenge to Protestants, which is also linked out in box number 2 of the sermon notes, wherein they make the case that they are the creators of the Sunday Sabbath. And since all the Protestants keep Sunday holy instead of the true Bible Sabbath, they should all come back to Mother Rome now, seeing how they trust her more than their very own faulty Bibles, as they call it. So again, if there was never a question, as the Lord's Day Alliance author is claiming in that article, why did they have to publish that book? I mean, if there's no question, there's no question. You wouldn't even have to put that book out there. Everybody would just say, yeah, it's a no-brainer. Sunday is the Sabbath. So, as we also saw at the start of the sermon, the author titled the article, Sunday as a Mark of Christian Unity. He also stated at the end of the article that he believes that the Christians should reclaim Sunday for the God who gave it to us. Now, I just shared statements from the Roman Catholic Church wherein they admit to being the ones that gave Sunday to the Christian world. They even wrote books boasting of it, and in one statement, which I'll share in a moment, they actually declare their changing of the Sabbath to Sunday proves they're above the Bible, and therefore all the churches must return and bow to the Pope in Rome. But this author in the Lord's Day Alliance said a literal God gave this spurious Sabbath to the church. That being the case, did the popes who invented Sunday keeping ever claim to be a god so as to make the author of that article have such a thought that makes him think it's okay to worship the popes of Rome? I mean, after all, do they not create heavenly saints out of dead Catholics that all Catholics worship and pray to daily? And yes, they do worship them. They kneel down in front of their statues and they pray to them, so that's worship. I mean, truth is, this is why they made John Paul II a supposed saint, so as to have statements he made become much more powerful in the days ahead. But I'll get to that in a moment. So, okay. Students of prophecy already know that, yes, the popes do claim to be gods on earth, and they have done so many times in writing. But for the sake of those that are new to this truth, I have a few out of literally dozens of statements by the Roman Catholic Church that may shock some of you. I'm only going to share a few of these. First one, the Pope and God are the same, so he has all power in heaven and in earth. An actual Pope, Pius V, said that one. This next one says the Pope, as it were, God on earth, sole sovereign of the faithful of Christ, chief of kings, having plenitude of power. The next one says, the Pope is of so great dignity and so exalted that he is not a mere man. He is, as it were, God on earth, sole sovereign of the faithful of Christ, chief of kings, having plenitude of power. Kind of sounds like the previous one. This next one says, the Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, he is Jesus Christ himself, hidden under the veil of the flesh. I mean, there's a lot of people out there in the world now that actually call themselves Jesus, but now we see the popes do that too. This next one's from another pope, Pope Leo XIII. He said, we hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty. And this last one here is from Pope John the 22nd. It says the title, Lord God the Pope, is found within a gloss of Extravagantes by that pope. So, as I stated a moment ago, I have literally dozens of statements from the popes and those that worship the popes, wherein they are called gods and are indeed given worship. So, and you can access that link to those quotes that I just shared, as well as many more, in box number 2 of the sermon notes again. And there's even video links, too, where I actually have a United States president calling, George W. Bush actually calling Pope Benedict a god. On camera. So, since the Sunday Alliance author said a God gave the Christians Sunday as a Sabbath, and we have statements from the popes and prelates declaring the popes are in fact a God on earth, who not only admits the Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath, but openly admits in writing they are the ones that gave the Sunday Sabbath to the churches as the supposed Christian Sabbath, but is there something even more telling wherein this author unknowingly lets the cat out of the bag regarding the fact that the exact same demons that helped the popes and prelates pen their statements about the false Sabbath in the past is also the exact same demon that wrote this Sunday Alliance article, which in turn confirms the prophetic fact wherein the mark of the beast is defined? Again, the title of the article was Sunday as a Mark of Christian Unity, right? Now notice the following quotes from the Roman Catholic Vatican, actually, which they actually approved and published with their Latin seal of approval, or imprimatur, as they call it in Latin, which means let it be written. They said this, of course, the Catholic Church claims the change, and what they're talking about here is the change from Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath. They say, of course, the Catholic Church claims the change was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. And the next one, they said, Sunday is our mark of authority, and the church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. So why do they say Sunday Sabbath, or their mark, as they call it, makes the Catholic Church above the Bible? Well, look around. All the so-called Christian churches out there, and this includes the Seventh-day Adventist Church now, they all keep Sunday holy. I mean, there's literally dozens and dozens of Seventh-day Adventist churches keeping Sunday holy. But there's not a single Bible verse to back up that spurious doctrine. It is nothing more than a tradition of a man. And so the Pope sees this as his mark of authority over all the churches, because he knows his predecessors are the ones that created it, and he also knows all those that claim to love the Lord and trust his Bible keep it, you know, Sunday holy, even though there isn't a single statement from God in their Bible saying he changed it. And so when the lukewarm Protestant sees this, they're going to naturally join with Rome, just as they have been doing all along. In fact, the One World Church was already put in power on June 26, 2000, with the Pope as the elected leader of it. At that time, of course, it was John Paul II. But every successor thereafter is going to be sitting in his same chair. So that means Francis now is the Jesuit Pope Francis is now the leader of the One World Church. All the church leaders are doing now is trying to convince those that are sitting in their pews that the Pope is their leader. I mean, they've already got this on paper. The leaders have already agreed to it. Now they're just trying to get the people to agree. So now do you see why all the churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, have been uplifting and even defending the popes of Rome? Prophecy's been fulfilled. And one last thing. Back in 1913, when the Lord's Day Alliance was still using the name the American Sabbath Union, they had to change that because the word Sabbath still, it irked them, obviously, so they changed it to Lord's Day Alliance later. But this is what they said, and this is what I called them on years ago when I first started keeping Sabbath. But this is what they said. It happened in 1913. It says, "This organization proposes in every possible way to aid in preserving Sunday as a civil institution. Our national security requires the active support of all good citizens in the maintenance of our American Sabbath. Sunday laws must be enforced." Now, do you recall when I mentioned John Paul II was made a saint? There's a reason I mentioned that. The present Jesuit Pope did that on April 27, 2014. He canonized John Paul II, made him a saint, even though that John Paul II was the man that sold Zyklon to the Nazis. Zyklon was what his family manufactured. Zyklon is the gas they used to kill the Jews and the Christians. But now he's a saint, supposedly. And now that he's considered a saint, many Catholics now pray to him as a heavenly being and a God. And some have even declared he has performed miracles from heaven already. And that's how he was canonized. Rome won't canonize you unless you actually prove you've done miracles. And so they're going to get somebody to say he did a miracle, of course. And this is why I declared many years ago, while John Paul II was still alive, that he was going to be the end-time pope. And no, I'm not talking about him resurrecting like some false preachers are saying today. They can use holograms and whatever they want if they want to try, or even a demon can act like they resurrect him. I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't care. The Bible doesn't say that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that he did during his pontificate are going to affect us in the last days. Even in death, they can now use his evil pontificate to further control the masses. His 26-year reign brought most nations into bed with Rome. And on July 5th, 1998, that's the same Pope, John Paul II, who was not only considered a saint and a god by most Catholics, who they actually claim is in heaven right now, and that's over a billion people saying this, he can now be uplifted as such by the Vatican to bring forth Sunday laws. How so? Well, as you just heard me read the statement made by the Lord's Day Alliance back in 1913 that they need to enforce Sunday laws, notice next what John Paul II said in his Deus Domini on July 5th, 1998, that this actually confirms the Lord's Day Alliance is working directly with Rome to bring about those Sunday laws that students of prophecy have been warning the people about for hundreds of years. He said, and I quote, John Paul II said this in his Deus Domini, and I have the whole document, the Deus Domini document, on the website. And I have the link below in the sermon notes. He said that, Christians will naturally strive to ensure that civil legislation respects their duty to keep Sunday holy. So when we see articles like this one that the Lord's Day Alliance just put up, when we see articles like this one from the Roman Catholic organizations like the Lord's Day Alliance claiming a God gave us a Sabbath not found in the Christian Bible, and we have the popes who claim to be gods on earth, who also admit in writing they are the ones that gave the Sunday Sabbath to the people, which they also admit in writing is their mark of authority over those people as well as over the Bible those people are holding in their hands. And then we see these very same popes and these Vatican-controlled organizations create and they make political statements demanding Sunday laws be passed. Do we need any more evidence that the mark of this Roman Catholic beast is on the fast track towards enforcement? I hope and pray that you were blessed this Sabbath day. Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. My hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be alive in these last days, and thank you so very much for opening up your word to us. Thank you for revealing the book of Revelation, as well as opening up Daniel's book, so that we can understand what we're looking at. Thank you for blessing our faith, our courage, our focus, our memory, our retention, our discernment, all of it, so that we can go forth and glorify you. And thank you, Father, for also making it to where we have perfect peace. Even if someone points a gun in our face, we're not fearful, because we know you're even in control there. And if it's our turn to take a nap, that's fine, because we know we're going to get up again. And so thank you for blessing us with faith, and blessing everyone that's in attendance with faith, and all those that are on our prayer list with faith, especially those that are lost. And thank you for blessing our efforts as we continue to go forward on this path that you have us on. Thank you for keeping it well lit, too, and for forgiving us and cleansing us when we fall short. And thank you for accepting this prayer In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our precious King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.